This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. Three large cities have filed a federal lawsuit against the Defense Department to demand it gets in compliance with reporting rules for service members who are disqualified from gun ownership.
The move follows that Texas church shooting by a former Air Force member last month who was able to buy a rifle after the Defense Department did not report his domestic violence record to the FBI's National Background Check System. New York City, San Francisco, and Philadelphia filed the lawsuit, arguing that failure allowed him to shoot 26 people to death. The lawsuit seeks an injunction and judicial oversight to ensure ongoing compliance with the Defense Department's obligation to submit records. Julie Walker, New York.
A news report predicts China will overtake the U.S. economy by the year 2032. Correspondent Linda Kenyon reports.
The report by London Center for Economics and Business Research says the four largest economies in 2032 will be China, the U.S., India, and Japan. In that order. The report cited by Bloomberg News shows India pulling ahead next year to overtake France and the United Kingdom to hold the fifth spot for the biggest economy in terms of dollars. By 2027, India will move up to become the world's third largest economy.
The report comes after the president signed the new tax overhaul bill into law. Most of the nation's largest retailers have extended their return policies for holiday gifts.
Items shipped by Amazon.com between November 1st and December 31st may be returned until the end of January. Best Buy says almost every purchase made throughout November and December can be returned through January 14th. At Target, all electronics and entertainment items must be returned within 30 days, starting December 26th. And Walmart says the window for items with 15-day or 30-day return policies also begins on December 26th. Greg Clugston reporting.
More of these stories at townhall.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-651-4888. That's 800-651-4888. 800-651-4888. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
East Coast fishermen are turning a wary eye toward an emerging upstart, the offshore wind industry.
In New Bedford, Massachusetts, fishermen dread the possibility of navigating a forest of turbines as they make their way to the fishing grounds that have made it the nation's most lucrative fishing port for 17 years running. The state envisions hundreds of wind turbines spinning off the city's shores in about a decade, enough to power more than a million homes. Off New York's Long Island, an organization representing East Coast scallopers had sued the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management to try to halt a proposal for a nearly 200-turbine wind farm. Commercial fishermen in Maryland's Ocean City and North Carolina's Outer Banks have also sounded the alarm about losing access to fishing grounds. Jeremy House reporting.
The upper chamber of the Russian parliament has voted to extend Russia's lease on a naval base in Syria for 49 years as Russia is determined to keep its military presence there. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Chefs and investors in California have cooked up cannabis-infused food, weed-pairing supper clubs, and other extravagant pot-to-plate events in preparation for legal marijuana come January 1st.
Cannabis-laced dinners with celebrity chefs at private parties have flourished across L.A., San Francisco, and San Diego in recent years, but a medical marijuana card was required to attend. With that requirement gone, the edibles market is expected to boom, though manufacturers face a host of regulations and doctors fear that the products could increase emergency room visits and entice youth. Industry analysts predict edibles for the recreational marijuana market will top $100 million in sales in 2018. I'm Julie Walker.
Mexico Central Bank said Tuesday that it will seek to bolster the peso amid concerns that the U.S. tax overhaul could reduce investment flows into the country. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Excuse me, sir. Could you take a picture of my family and me with my cell phone?
Sure, Mrs. Anderson. Smile for the camera.
Too bad hackers never get proper permission to access your cell phone or computer camera. Anyone is or could be susceptible to illegal spying. That's why VirtualShield.com has developed Identisafe, a new security software that blocks camera and microphone access from unwanted spies. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Remembering 2017 with the best interviews we had on Bill Martinez Live.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, coming at you in over 280 markets across this wonderful country of ours, around the world via shortwave as well. We're all over the place. And great to have you along with us for the ride as we pursue the truth no matter where it leads, because it is that critical to your future, to your lives, to your families. New York Times bestselling author of The Emmaus Code is with us right now, David Limbaugh. His latest book, The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. David Limbaugh, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Great, and thanks for having me. Always good to be on.
Hey, The True Jesus, why the book?
I wanted to originally write a primer, a New Testament survey, the whole New Testament, and I started writing it. Realized it was a little too ambitious for one book. You can cover a lot of things superficially, and there are a lot of New Testament surveys that seminaries have and all that, and they're great for their purpose. But I wanted to delve more deeply into the Gospels, and so as I started studying and immersing myself in the Gospels, I said, I've got to narrow the focus of this book just to the Gospels to do what I want to do with the book, which is to really get into the Gospels and the whole New Testament. But they're just one room. So I called Regnery, my publisher, and they jumped at it. They didn't even question it. They said, good, we'll just do a follow-up on the rest of the New Testament if we can. So that's why. That's why it's developed into the book that it is. But it's kind of interesting that I switched horses in the middle of the stream. And so it's funny, when you start doing something, I have the flexibility, luckily, because I have a good publisher, of being able to change it when the situation calls for it.
Well, I think your publisher understands inspiration and God's leading. And so, but there's some publishers that would have said, say what? And it ain't going to happen. That's not what we bought.
I know. Totally true.
Well, certainly there was some inspiration here to direct you accordingly, David. And I'm sure, just like you did in your previous books, as you begin to write and in writing, you peel back the onion skin layer by layer and revelation sets in. What was the initial big wow for you, other than that you had to focus on the Gospels?
Yeah, it's going to sound silly, and as I've said this in certain other interviews, I wonder if this sounds silly, but here it is. It's just the truth, whether it's silly or not. I've read the Bible quite a few times, read the Gospels, read the New Testament, both completely beginning to end and in parts, but I always before preferred reading the epistles to the Gospels because I like theology, and Paul kind of goes into theology, and the other epistle writers go into it, tell you what it all means, and it's just kind of really fascinating intellectually to me. Mm-hmm. And the Gospels are more a history of, other than a specific part of history, about Christ's life, mainly his life and part of his ministry, not his whole life, just his ministry,
mm-hmm.
and for 3 years mostly. And I started reading the Gospels and really having to focus more than I ever had, because as you know, it kind of your mind has to focus when you're researching and writing.
Right.
And so I started doing that and realized how much deeper and richer an experience it was than it had ever been before. I was trying to harmonize the four Gospels, not harmonize them in the sense of getting rid of all the inconsistencies, but because I wanted to condense them so I would have space to go on to write about the rest of the New Testament books. How am I going to do this? There's four separate books. They're related, but they're overlapping, but they all contain different information. The first three, the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are more similar to each other than they are to the book of John, which is more theological. Still, right. How am I going to harmonize them and make it meaningful? Well, I could have, but then I would have ended up being spread out too wide and not really accomplish anything inspirational. It would just be like a textbook that has a bunch of useful facts. So I said, I'm going to put all the events. I'm going to do a consolidated account. I don't want to call it a harmony, because a harmony implies that you're trying to shred away all differences and all that, make it all in a nice, neat package, which it doesn't lend itself to. And it doesn't lend itself to a complete chronological sequence. But you can put it in largely chronological order, because you can't be sure when some of these events occurred, because some of the gospel writers were writing more in terms of the substance they were writing and the themes, rather than being strictly chronological. But experts have come together, and there's pretty good idea of what the chronological order is for most things. So I kind of simulated that. I probably had 250 separate substantive events that occurred in the gospels from a bunch of different resources. So I go through every one of those, and I lay out what happened. I sometimes condense the words of the events, like to summarize, instead of saying in two paragraphs where they went, I might reduce it to a sentence. Because my purpose here isn't to rewrite the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. Mine is a book about the Bible. But it's also to stay true to the text. So when it comes to the actual speeches of Jesus and his discourses, I include most of those verbatim. So in addition to having a run through of everything that occurred in the Gospels, I mean, literally almost every event and every speech, I have a running commentary to help the reader understand what they've just read. And I rely on mainstream. I'm not one of these people that get on these far-fetched ideas theologically. Pretty mainstream Christian interpretation, my own interpretation, and the people I trust. And so I include commentary all the way through. And that's the bulk of the book, chapters 5 through 12. The first four chapters are introductory about the Gospels, the kind of things I would have done if I'd written the whole New Testament. And I include an intertestamental history, what happened between the writing of the Old Testament and the New Testament, all that kind of stuff. The bulk of the book is the second part, where I really delve into the Gospels. And I want to emphasize this to you, as I do in the book. My main purpose in this whole exercise is to inspire people to read the Gospels for themselves, because only if you read the Gospels themselves will you encounter the living Son of God. You're not going to encounter him in my book, no matter how closely I approximate the Scripture with an effort to do that. You're only going to encounter him if you read the Word of God. So my goal is to excite people about the Gospels like I'm excited about the Gospel, have some of my enthusiasm spread into the reader, so that they're, and then also help teach them like a Sunday school teacher would certain things. So now, that if they were intimidated by the Gospels before, they may be less so and say, hey, I got a kind of an overview. I know what these are about. I know a little bit about what the interpretation is. Now I'm excited. I'm going to delve into the real thing. That's my goal. I don't know if I will be successful, but just to let you know, that's my goal.
Well, David, the Word of God is living, and you understand that because you've been a student of it. You're a theologian in much the same way that I am. And my excitement was when I realized that it was a living document. It was more than words. This is why you can read the gospel and you say, I've read this hundreds of times, and I have a new meaning for it as it applies today for me at this moment. And those moments, yes. Right.
And it's as if, and the guy next to you reading it could be reading the same thing, and it could apply to him in a different situation. But that doesn't mean, let's be clear to your listeners, that doesn't mean that the word is malleable. It means that it is living. That God is almost, it's almost as like he's speaking and jumping off the pages and touching each one of us. The meaning is the same. The meaning is the meaning. It is the word of God, but it has an uncanny ability to be alive and to apply to us individually. And it's really beyond the ability, I think, of human beings to articulate it fully.
Exactly. Well, we're talking the true Jesus, uncovering the divinity of Christ in the Gospels. David Limbaugh is our guest. More from David right after.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders. When I told folks my signature KFC pot pie was filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, veggies, and topped in a golden flaky crust and only cost $3.99, they said I was crazy. And maybe I was, because that was 1980, and $3.99 was a lot of money back then. But today, getting a meal that size for just $3.99 is a really great deal. So stop into a KFC and get yourself a pot pie. It's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply, or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now, earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But did you know you can have tax-free access to your life insurance while you're still alive? You can use the life benefits of your life insurance to grow your money with certainty and guarantees. No stock market risk, no tax risk, and no penalties. Call Life Benefits if you'd like a free book about how this can be done. Call 702-660-7000. That's 702-660-7000.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head? Comb it over? Wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to everyone who texts EASY66 to 85850. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part, Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let them show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY66 to 85850. Ask about the Bosley Guarantee. EASY66 to 85850.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Remembering 2017 with the best interviews we had on Bill Martinez Live.
Send your emails direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour right now, our conversation with David Limbaugh about his new book, The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. David is a lawyer, nationally syndicated columnist with the Creator Syndicate, political commentator, and author of 7 New York Times bestsellers, including The Emmaus Code and the number one bestseller, Crimes Against Liberty. David, in your book, True Jesus, you said you wanted the Gospels to speak for themselves. I guess maybe from your legal background, you have 4 distinct witnesses. And in many cases, the stories are very similar.
You're talking about the 4 separate Gospels?
Yes,
now?
The 4 separate Gospels,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. And my friend Frank Turek, for example, an apologist who's written books on apologetics, always makes the point. And J. Warner Wallace, who is a homicide detective, is now an apologist, makes the point that if all these Gospel accounts were in perfect harmony and there weren't any differences, then you might be suspicious that the gospel writers had gotten together to make their perfect little nice, neat,
right,
conspiratorial message. The truth is we have authenticity that rings through them because we see them from 4 different perspectives and 4 different emphases and different audiences that they had in mind. Matthew, for example, writes mostly to a Jewish audience, and he invokes the Old Testament a lot because it's important for him to show how Christ fulfills the Old Testament covenants, the Old Testament prophecies and the types and foreshadowings, because he wants the Jews to understand that he's speaking to. He wants to help convert them. He wants them to understand that the New Testament, Christ is just the consummation of their religion,
exactly,
not a distortion. It was all one story, as Greg Kuchel writes in his book. It's all the story of God from the beginning to end, and Jesus is the consummation. So he wants to show them that continuity, but unfortunately many of them are expecting a different type of Messiah, and that's another issue. But John, for example, focuses more on the theological aspects, and the other two focus on Jesus' humanity and his suffering servanthood, for example. So fascinating, 4 different perspectives, complementary, but not exactly the same.
And what people need to discern here, and what you've kind of suggested in your statement, is that people sometimes confuse religion with relationship. And many are surprised when they hear that Jesus was against religion. That's what he went head-to-head against, in much to a degree, what we face today in the 21st century America, not to mention that antithetical viewpoint that wants to saber-rattle a bit against the Word of God and against Christianity, this war on our faith.
Yes. Well, he was certainly against legalism and Pharisaic external righteousness instead of internal displays of righteousness. And they were more concerned about obeying the rules, supposedly, and their traditions than they were the spirit of the law and the actual law itself. They put their traditions ahead of the law, and Jesus corrected them, such as healing on the Sabbath. Man is the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath, and Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath. But that was blasphemous for them. The Pharisees went after him for healing on it, and he said, well, David went into the temple and ate some of the priest's bread when he was running from Saul. And he did that to survive. And of course that he shouldn't have obeyed some strict traditional interpretation of the Sabbath and starved himself. It's just absurd, putting rule over reason, mm-hmm, insanity. So yes, the Pharisees were caught up in their own displays of righteousness. And by the way, in some of the gospel sections that I talk about, there's a recurring theme. And as we talk about it, Scripture being integrated and unified and repeated themes all around, mm-hmm, God doesn't want us to be conspicuous in our displays of righteousness for the purpose of impressing our fellow man. He wants us to be internally faithful and righteous, so only he can see us. Somebody in the secular culture has said that integrity has to do with how you behave when no one else is looking. You don't go into deliver a prayer publicly so people will say, wow, that was the most articulate prayer I've ever heard. You don't tell people that you tithe or that you give more than a tithe because you want credit and fame for man or acclaim for man instead of acclaim, because that's the only reward you'll get. And there's repeated themes analogous to that. And so when you start reading the Gospels, these themes reinforce what the law that's already written in our heart, the moral code that we already know intrinsically. But there's a commonality to it, and the more you read it, the more you begin to understand how what is right and what is wrong, and what is proper behavior and what is Christ-like behavior.
Exactly.
So it's an extremely valuable enterprise.
Well, that's what happens. You know, the Bible says the Word will go out and find its mate, and so when you read the Word of God, it is that inscription in your heart, your very soul, your inner being that comes in connection with the Word of God that says, "Welcome home." You know, this is right. This is, this is that aha moment that is so significant that causes you to leap tall buildings at a single bound and to do what in and of yourself is humanly impossible, right?
Yes, and well said. And if you ever thought, this might be another weird analogy, but when you really get into the Bible, and I remember reading these Old Testament passages which say the word, like in Psalms or whatever, the word is your delight, and it is so pleasing to learn about and to read God's word. You almost think of it like some food that you just want to consume. There's a hunger for it. Once you find the hunger for the word of God, you're excited about it. You want to just consume it. And I don't know if that makes sense, because it's not a good analogy, because food is digested. Yeah, you digest the word, but it stays with you.
Right.
And so that's where the analogy fails.
Well, and it ties in with what Jesus said, that it wasn't by bread alone that man lives, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And for Jesus to say that, I mean, you know, throughout your book, David, you're demonstrating the model that Jesus gave us. And if you have eyes to see it and ears to understand, I mean, this isn't Jesus speaking in a proverb anymore. You know, when he said he came to kind of confuse people. You know, he wanted to only make sure those people who could understand, right? But today it's plain for us. Does that make sense?
Some people say, well, why would he be selective? Well, I don't think Jesus would deliberately harden someone's hearts, but he might help them along the path if they are outright disobedient and just reject him. Well, he might say, okay, you're not gonna, you've rejected me, that's fine. But he still offers forgiveness. But in the parables, he was basically talking, trying to communicate with his own disciples and explaining to them. And part of the practical reason he did that is Jesus was on God's appointed time, and he didn't want to subject himself to crucifixion before he finished his ministry. It was important that he complete his ministry in full, I mean, his earthly ministry, before he allowed himself to go to the cross. So sometimes he would slip out between the crowd. I think there's a little supernatural element involved in some of those cases where he kind of disappeared, but that's my own, you know, reading into something. And then he would basically say, he would tell the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her he was the Messiah. Well, why would he tell her and tell other people to shut up about it? Because nobody up there was going to arrest him. When he went down to Jerusalem, though, he had to be more circumspect. So
exactly.
Jesus was a pragmatist, too. He always told the truth, but he had to do stuff, and he is the truth, capital T. He had to do things in his own time. He would emphasize things where they ought to be emphasized and otherwise not. So it's a fascinating thing, and he was fully human and fully God. We don't want to ever forget that.
Well, and to that point, David, I mean, you addressed this fully human, fully God. I mean, this is something that was addressed early on, you know, back in the early 300s. Again, it came to full argument and discussion.
Yeah.
You know, was Jesus fully God and fully man? And they determined after much discussion, yes, he was all that he said he was.
Yeah, these heresies, the Docetists, the Gnostics, who claim to have special knowledge, saying that the material world is all evil and the spiritual world is all good. Jesus couldn't have been in a material body, and he couldn't have been crucified. Do you realize what a blasphemy, heretical blasphemy it is to suggest that Jesus didn't experience bodily suffering in worse extremes than any human being has ever experienced, not to mention the spiritual suffering he endured by being separated from the Father and receiving all of the Father's wrath for the mankind's past, present, and future sins.
Well, David Limbaugh, congratulations on the book. It is a true treasure. Really, I mean that sincerely. Appreciate all the work, the commitment to deliver this to us. The True Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospel. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Bill Martinez here, and not so live right now because we're remembering the best interviews of 2017.
Someone once said, live free or die, right?
Father, I adore you, and I lay my life before you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon, Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Melissa Francis, yes, we finally got together here. This has been a long time coming. It's because every time I see her, I go, well, she's supposed to be on with me. Well, no, she's on TV right now. She's doing, they have you nonstop busy, lady.
You know, I just can't possibly suck up enough airtime over here. I'm just, I have to have as much airtime as I possibly can. What can I say?
Well, it's just that you're so doggone good. You know, they know a good thing. Absolutely. Well, Melissa Francis, you know, we know her on Fox, but a lot of people are, you know, are growing to know more and more of your childhood, that you were a childhood star, Little House on the Prairie, and you grew up
there, and since then gone on to author best-selling memoir, Diary of a Stage Mother's Daughter, and anchored CNBC's Power Lunch, The Call, and On the Money. You currently host, they say, two daily business shows on Fox Business Network. But it's not only Fox Business Network, but Fox as well. I mean, I see you everywhere.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I mean, they're keeping me busy over here. They're making sure they get every dime out of me that they put in, so they put me on all day long. No, I'm kidding. I love it. I can't possibly get enough. It's so much fun. But, you know, it's funny. I sort of remade myself as a television journalist, and I've been in this career since I graduated from college. I don't want to calculate those years because, you know, I'm trying to pretend like I'm much younger than I am, although the Internet has sort of ruined that. But I would say I was on Outnumbered not too long ago, and that's our noontime show. We sit around a couch on Fox News Channel, and people come by, and they tap on the window like we're goldfish, and, you know, we swim over to the sides to say hi to them. And on the way out of the studio, we walk through this breezeway, and there are kind people who stop there and want to take pictures and all that kind of stuff, and we're so appreciative to see them. But somebody stopped me one day and said, you know, will you sign my book? And I said, you're going to be so disappointed when you see my name. The ladies coming out behind me are a lot more famous. And she said, oh, no, I know you. You're the Little House on the Prairie one. Oh. And it kind of struck me that this is the thing that I've been, you know, trying to prove I'm bigger than for so long. You know, I had this career in Hollywood. I, you know, was more than 100 commercials. I started when I was six months old. I did movies and TV shows and all this stuff. And I realized I learned so many great things.
Exactly.
And I've led my life based on those principles. Why am I trying to get away from it? Instead, why don't I write it down, make it to the survival guide, and give it to my kids?
Well, exactly.
Help them through life.
Well, did you think the lady wasn't going to notice the bonnet that was on your head as you were walking down the hallway?
I mean, the metal pail.
Yeah, a little bit of a giveaway is all, you know. But, you know, what a great run for you. And to be around somebody like Michael Landon as well. And he's all part of, you know, your book, Lessons from the Prairie. I mean, some great stories that remind us of our humanity and the precious things of life that come out in your book.
It's really true. You know, I mean, he had a lot of issues or whatever in his personal life. I mean, I don't want to deny that. I don't know what really happened. You know, I always saw him on the cover of The Enquirer. But what I know of him was as one of the most tremendous leaders and bosses I've ever met. I mean, he led by example. He was incredible. He realized to make a mint in Hollywood, you had to own the show, write it, produce it, direct it, create it, star in it. He was the first one there in the morning. He was the last one to leave at night. He rolled up his sleeves and he worked at least as hard as everybody else. He was no diva. He was buddies with the crew. His dressing room was small. And by example, ours was too. If it was good enough for him, it was good enough for us. But he treated the person behind the camera, the person doing the makeup, the person driving the truck, with at least as much respect and dignity as everybody else, as the people in front of the camera. And he really taught me, you know, to work with pride, feel proud of the job that you're doing, work as hard as you can, contribute with a group, respect your coworkers, and that feeling, that thrill that you get and that feeling of power and independence when someone outside the family pays you for a job well done, you go, wow.
Exactly.
I can make my way in this world. It's so empowering. And it was a lesson that I learned really early. And it was different from other sets. You know, I mean, it wasn't just the job because I was on, you know, like I said, I started when I was 6 months old. I was on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sets in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And this one was unique. And I learned such amazing lessons that I'm desperate to impart among my children, that I wrote them down really for them. I mean, it's 9 or 10 bite-sized lessons in the book that you can read. It's the chapters in any order. I try and make it funny and entertain you. You'll laugh. I mean, I'm very self-deprecating. You'll laugh at all the pies to the face I've taken in my lifetime. But the lessons are the things that I am desperate for my children to know. And I really wrote it for them and for talk radio listeners. I mean, you talk radio listeners are the smartest people out there. I mean, you guys are listening with your mind. When you watch television, there's the visual element. If you're sitting there listening to the words on your radio, music is beautiful, but you're listening to thoughtful conversation. You are really intellectual. You are really hungry for stuff. You would love this in particular.
Well, you're engaging a dimension on radio that somehow is robbed when you see it visually, and that is that you're engaging the imagination, the true core of people's creativity, and emotions is right there. And so this is what I love about being in the radio business. It's been 45 years of my life. And, and it's cool to see and for you to take these nuggets that you've picked up along the way. And it is about, you know, happiness. And I was kind of, I guess, surprised that it was a surprise, you know, these surprising secrets. And maybe it's, they're only a surprise because they're kind of things that we've known, but we just don't really take it, you know, we kind of take them for granted a little bit. So it's good that we're reminded. So remind our audience of some of these surprising secrets that you talk about.
I mean, let me hit on a few quickly. You know, when I wrote my first book, it was about overcoming a blessed and challenging childhood. And a lot of people wrote to me and said they had the exact same experience that I did. When I read their experience, it was kind of nothing like what I went through. But what was common was that they were brought to their knees by life. I mean, really brought to their knees. And I think every one of us has been there at some point or another, and you have to figure out how to scrape your bones up off the ground and keep going. I've come up with a formula to turn disaster into your golden opportunity. And what I mean by that is where you end up in a place better than where you are knocked down from. And I came by this formula the hard way by having to do it myself a number of times. And I've gone out, I've given speeches on it, and you know, people write to me later and say it changed their lives. I tell you very easily how to do it in the book. I show you examples of how I've done it. But I also talk about things like, you know, I mean, we are all so hard on ourselves. And I think that one of the negative externalities of this lean in culture is that we feel so much pressure to always press harder and always feel bad about kind of where you are rather than stopping and enjoying it and counting your blessings. And I say, don't lean in. Sit down and take a load off. Maybe have a glass of wine. Congratulate the person next to you. Give yourself a hug. And take account of what you have achieved. And I don't mean don't work really hard, because obviously I work so hard in my life. But there's a point that you have to celebrate what you have and also not kind of push yourself to false examples. And, you know, there are no super men and women. You know, if you see Superwoman, strangle her with her fake cape, because it's not real. It's not real. We've got to give ourselves a break. And there's also, you know, don't try not to be a lunatic if at all possible. You know, when we drive ourselves crazy by being jealous of the person next to you, envious of the coworker who's getting more than you, rather than focusing on yourself, not only what you have, but doing your job well, you know, you can be your own worst enemy. It's hard to understand those concepts very quickly. If you read them and you read how I've made the mistakes in those territories, you'll kind of see it for yourself, I think. But really, I think one of the best lessons is how to come back from disaster. I really have a foolproof way to do it.
Well, Melissa, I appreciate your heart and your vulnerability, your openness to share these golden nuggets, lessons from the prairie, the surprising secrets of happiness, success, and sometimes just survival that you learned on America's Favorite Show. Melissa Francis, thank you so much. The book, congratulations on it. It is available at all the usual places. And, of course, we'll link it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Have yourself a blessed day. Thank you.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Angel Care Network. Call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want to take advantage of a life-changing LASIK offer, pull over when you can, because a special opportunity is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the keyword CLEAR55 to 350350 to get the benefit of FDA-approved LASIK technology that gives the majority of patients 20/20 vision. For a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. When you text CLEAR55 to 350350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just a text away. Text CLEAR55 to 350350. That's CLEAR55 to 350350.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana's been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, back with the America 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you get to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. It is time for the one, the only, yes, no baloney, I'm telling you, James Herson, New York Times best-selling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Merry Christmas, James. How are we doing?
Merry Christmas to you, Bill. Doing great.
Hey, wonderful. Hey, I just got back from, the land of horn hawking and, I'll tell you one thing about, New York. It is, there is beautiful noise as Neil Diamond wrote and sang about, as you remember. But, I'll tell you, I don't know what would happen to New York if you took away the F word and horns honking.
Yeah, really. That's it. All you have to do is walk down the street in Manhattan and accidentally bump into someone.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear usually every possible profane word that we can't say right now.
In 170 different languages, at least I want you to know. And that's in a half a city block.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, no, it's it was quite the scene, but go ahead.
It's electric, it's high energy, and it's a place to get in and get out of.
Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of place you want to get in and get out of, what is going on with Hollywood, man? I'm glad I'm on the East Coast here. They're choosing Anita Hill to lead a sexual harassment commission. Are they trying to have a drop the mic moment here?
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is amazing. We've had, and we've talked about it on your program now, It's been the last 2 months since the Harvey Weinstein story broke. Like dominoes, we've had these huge, big-name people, Kevin Spacey, Dustin Hoffman, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Garrison Keillor, Tavis Smiley, just on and on. So the executives in Hollywood, number one, they feel threatened because they're going to go next. There's been a number of executives that's gone. But number two, they're concerned about the Hollywood brand. And there's this sort of dark cloud over Hollywood. And, of course, we're leading right into the big awards season where we have, you know, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, the Critics' Choice Awards, the Grammys, the Golden Globes, and the Oscars. And what it is amazing to see how insular and how out of touch the people in Hollywood are. You know, one of the things that Hollywood's known for is public relations, is brands and images. And so, you know, they have to address the fact that they've been tarnished, and the award shows are going to feature, you know, a lot of the same people. So here's some of the things they're doing. The SAG Awards, to make a comment on sexual harassment, is going to have all female presenters and a female host. And so that's their way of dealing.
Boy, that'll straighten everything out, won't it?
Yeah. The Golden Globe, you know, people will sometimes watch these award shows to see the fashion. Well, so to make a statement, it's a fashion statement, all the nominees and all the female presenters are going to dress in black.
Wow.
I guess like it's a funeral on the red carpet during the ceremony, including big names, you know, nominees, Emma Stone, Jessica Chastain, and Meryl Streep. We can be sure Meryl Streep will not say that Harvey Weinstein is her god.
Yes, exactly.
In the past.
Well, are they all going to wear matching hats in the form of a hashtag or something?
Yeah, we don't. Well, the hashtag, of course, is Me Too.
Yes.
And then, of course, Russell Simmons has come up with a hashtag because he, Tavis Smiley, and others are saying, you know, they're fighting this. They deny it. So they have a hashtag, Not Me.
Not Me.
Not
yeah,
Me.
Exactly.
So then to show, you know, similar to what is done in Washington, D.C., you know, when there's a problem to be solved, and President Obama was really good at this. You know, they'll set up a blue ribbon commission.
Oh, yeah. Got to have a committee.
A committee.
Yeah.
A committee. And then the committee's looking into the problem to come up with recommendations of how it will be solved. And basically, they do nothing. It just gives the perception that they're doing something. So Hollywood needs something like that. So they came up with a new commission, a new sexual harassment commission. Here's what it's called. It's called the Commission on Sexual Harassment and Advancing Equality in the Workplace. It sounds good, but to show how tone deaf they are, they chose Anita Hill to be the head of the committee. And look, even if you're one of the people that actually thinks Anita Hill is a noble human being, which I don't, you have to admit that she's controversial.
Yes.
I mean, when she came out in the early 90s and brought forth these allegations of sexual harassment against U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas when he was being confirmed.
Yeah, nominee.
There were 3 or 4 days of testimony, and everybody tuned in. It was like the O.J. Simpson trial. Everybody, I mean, there were offices that stopped working to watch these hearings. And they watched Hill, and 2-1. Americans thought Hill lied, that she failed to tell the truth. 2-1. They watched her face, their demeanor, but also all they had to do was look at her story was fell apart. Her behavior was totally inconsistent with someone who had been harassed. She followed Thomas. When he moved to a different department, she moved with him. She called him up. She gave him rides. It was ridiculous. Even when she didn't work for him, there were phone calls. And then her main witness, the testimony fell apart because the timing was wrong. And it just goes on and on. But what it shows is Hollywood is completely out of touch because she's a controversial figure. They would have been better off choosing Charlie Sheen.
Why not? Yeah,
no,
exactly. No, of course you are. Yeah, but who is leading this whole crisis management issue? The NFL on their behalf?
Yeah, might as well be the NFL. The meeting where they announced this had some top female executives, mainly George Lucas's company, Lucasfilm, has a long-time executive. She's been around the film industry for 2.5 decades.
Right.
Kathleen Kennedy is right. her name. Not part of the Kennedy family. Then a few others, big entertainment lawyer that I know. Females, all females. But attending this meeting that announced the Commission on Sexual Harassment was an assemblage of power players that rarely get together. It was all the major studios, chairmen, including Bob Iger from Disney, Les Moonves from CBS, people that some names you don't know, but you know the company.
Exactly.
Universal, right. Warner Brothers, Ari Emanuel, the legendary agent that has the biggest agency in the world. Just, and of course, all the heads of the academies, the Film Academy, the Recording Academy, the TV Academy, and all the unions, the actors, writers, directors, producers. They're taking it real seriously, but they're so utterly out of touch that they choose absolutely the wrong person to head up this committee. And, you know, I mean, this is a place Hollywood has fallen for the propaganda, because if you remember, it was Hollywood that put together, as they do quite often, these films that try to revise history. And they had a
yes.
film called Confirmation, an HBO film, where they tried desperately to make Anita Hill look like a hero, and they tried to make Justice Thomas look bad. And Justice Thomas has been an exemplary justice on the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
And he's conducted it with great dignity, and yet the left won't let go, and they've even recently called for Thomas to resign, just like they called for President Trump to resign, using the sexual harassment weapon that they now feel, the left feels empowered to do, because they've sacrificed their pawns, Al Franken and John Conyers,
yeah.
and others. So,
and now with Franken, his fellow Dems are saying, don't go, Al.
Yeah, make yourself into the ultimate liar who promised to leave and then dealt with. But, you know, the original idea was that Franken, if Roy Moore were to win, that Franken would say, well, if he's going to stay, I'm going to stay. Moore lost, he really has nothing to make him stay, except he can say, well, it's what my constituents have asked me to do. He may come up with that, but it'll end his political career regardless.
Well, his governor's already got his replacement, and they're changing the curtains, aren't they?
Yes, they already picked a female replacement, which is the, you know, which makes sense. And I think it's the lieutenant governor.
Lieutenant governor, exactly, right.
Yeah, who's a real diehard. You know, she's not going to want Al Franken to renege on his promise. She'd like to get into the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, she's already trying to find a place to rent so she can stay there and not stay overnight in her office like most of the senators do, right?
Exactly.
Well, this whole deal, James, on with Anita Hill, I mean, they're going to do everything they can, as you say, to rewrite history. And I guess if they keep coming back and keep throwing it on people, eventually they'll probably get to the deal that maybe Anita Hill got a bad shake, and here it is. Thank goodness for Hollywood, the perfecters of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, straightening out another wrong done by the hands of the evil white men.
No, and it just shows, I think, by the fact, you know, that they're going to wear black, they're going to have all female presenters, they choose Anita Hill.
You don't like my idea of a hashtag hat that matches it? I thought it would be awesome.
No, I think that'd be great. I think that it's all form over substance, and I think there's a lot more dominoes that are going to fall.
Yep, stay
and
tuned
now,
for details.
You know, they're feuding against each other now.
Right.
So,
well, we got to leave it right there. To be continued, James. We're out of time. Sorry. Appreciate it. James Hurston, I'm Bill Martinez live. Merry Christmas, James.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
The answer.